Hello and happy Monday, everybody. Yeah. We haven't played the song in quite a while here. You're not on the mic yet, so I'm not. So you can't talk yet. We might have to have you adjust your camera a little further down. But hello, everyone. Happy Monday. It's 7 o'clock. You're tuned in to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove. And like you know, every week on Monday at 7 o'clock, we talk to some business professionals about their paths of happiness. We talk about their jobs, their careers, the businesses that they own, and everything in between. We talk about the kings and clowns, the smiles and frowns, the ups and downs of owning a business and working through it like that. We've been talking to some amazing entrepreneurs who are doing some amazing things. And during this year, what we're also doing is doing two sets of 10 special programs for you people out there. One of the programs is all about young management and what you have to do in order to be successful in that part of your career or grow into something greater. The other very special segment we're doing is Side Hustle to Success, with that very familiar voice that you're probably used to from previous years when you've listened to the show when we talked just in general about happiness. And so today our guest again is the one and only... There she is. Yes. So, Tiffany, what have you been doing since the last time we talked?
I've been doing my homework.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent. Here, I just switched the camera to you because I forgot to hit the go live. We're going live on YouTube now, so you can see the camera.
Is that okay?
Yeah. I'm only seeing the top of your head there. Can you reach over? Yeah, just bend that down a little bit. Just a little tiny. Oh, that's much better. There you go. All right. So tell us what you've been up to, Tiffany.
Besides work.
All right. So work is work, right?
Work is work.
And so work is paying the bills, right?
It is paying the bills.
Okay. So everyone's got that thing where they say, I'm looking for my regular 9 to 5 to cover the costs, pay the bills.
Yes.
But then deep down inside, you've got a yearning to do some extra earning, right? You've got something deep down inside that you want to explore and become something greater.
And you know, and that sounds really great, but the hard part is, it's difficult to step out of that zone because you know you have to pay the bills. And
yes.
And it's so hard, even though you really, really might want to do something else, you're not sure if you could pay the bills. And so it's kind of scary.
Well, that's why you don't jump. You don't jump yet. What you have to do is you have to make sure that your side hustle, whatever you're doing, is the reason it's called a side hustle, is you're doing it on the side. You're doing it in the evenings. You're doing it in the mornings. Doing it on your lunch hour. Doing it on the weekends. You have to make the commitment. And if you feel, and anyone out there with a side hustle, if you feel like, I don't want to put that much time into something extra, then maybe you're not cut out for that entrepreneurial spirit. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort. And it takes a lot of oomph. You know, you sit there and you trade off sleep. You trade off family time. You trade off a lot of fun time in order to make this happen. And hopefully, in some people's eyes, let's say, or in their minds, in their hearts, they're hoping that side hustle can turn into something that replaces their regular 9 to 5.
What about something that you would like to try but not necessarily want or expect to pay all the bills for it?
Okay.
Maybe just like a little side income.
Yeah. In other words, just keeping it a side hustle itself.
Yes.
Just in other words, I'm going to do this thing on the side just to make it some extra money. Like, all I'm going to do is I want to make some extra money to go on vacation and stuff like that. All right, perfect. So there you go. Right. So the first thing I would tell you is this. If you are going to do something like that, make sure it's something you really enjoy doing.
Okay.
Because if you don't enjoy doing it, you will find every excuse not to do it.
Absolutely.
All right. So make sure that whatever you're doing, if you decide, hey, I'm going to do this little thing just to make some extra income, but I want to really, really love doing it.
Okay.
Okay. It's got to bring me some joy. Now, also what happens is if you enjoy it, that's part of the payment that you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really... find some happiness in doing it, which is what it's all about. That's what we're after here. You've got to be able to say at the end of the month, wow, I didn't bring in that much money, but I enjoyed doing that thing I'm doing, whether it's building birdhouses or yeah, you like that, right? Building birdhouses, I mean, painting, shoveling people's snow, because Rusty's always talking about more snow coming, but mowing lawns, doing whatever.
Too,
yeah, there you go. So walking dogs, whatever it is, make sure that it's something that you enjoy,
yeah.
So that even if you're not making a whole bunch of money, you can still benefit by that happiness
makes sense.
You get. Okay. So also is if it's something that you dread doing, you really dread it, and you're looking at it going, oh.
Can you imagine dreading your full-time job and then dreading your...
How awful life would be. Right. I would hope that if anyone is in that position where they absolutely dread their full-time job and they dread their side hustle. I am hoping that it is bringing in such tons of money that they're like, wow, in this short period of time, I'm going to be able to quit both and I'll be fine. I'm hoping at least that, or it's giving them something else. Because you need some type of a goal. You need something. You don't want something that's going to keep weighing you down,
right.
Burying you.
Right.
Okay. So, awesome. Well, so Tiffany, I don't know if you realize this. So since we got the new studio and everything like this, not only are we live here and, on the radio, we're live on the internet because, everyone listens to us on WRLR.fm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now we are also live 24 hours a day broadcasting on Twitch. Okay.
Twitch
is a really cool program. And we are also live right now on YouTube.
So what are we on YouTube?
What you'll do is you'll go to, let me see, it's the 98.3 The Life on YouTube. Yeah, The Life, 98.3 FM. Find that on YouTube and you'll be able to see these programs there forever.
So what if I wanted to watch it tomorrow? But
yes, you could.
Okay, we're about a week from now.
It's going to be there forever. Your face looking in that camera is going to be up on YouTube for absolutely ever. There you go. Hold on one second. Then I'll turn it back to you. Now it's, there you go.
All right. Perfect.
And the okay. It's like, yeah, I'll turn the camera on you.
Exactly.
It's not.
No. It's on you now. Yeah. Are you? Did they not get it? You don't have a monitor?
No, I do, but it's delayed.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a delay. It kind of freaks you out. Yeah, it's a little bit.
After.
All right. So, Tiffany, we haven't changed anything in the show. You know what we've always done here is the reason it's called Bacon Bits is because everything that bacon touches makes it just a little bit better. Not only food, but absolutely everything. So when we're talking about the bacon here, we're not talking about the bacon for chewing.
We're not?
What do you think we're talking about?
I think we're talking about the bacon for doing.
There you go. Right. And so today we are going to be talking about this exactly. We spoke last month with you about creating your vision, creating your idea of what you want to do, and maybe your values list. Did you create a values list, a list of values that you believe in?
Did.
You don't have to give them to me yet.
Okay,
but I want us, because we're going to discuss that.
I think you told me to also, I'm sorry to interrupt, the bad values or the... The
bad
the
values?
The negative.
Well, yeah,
part
I want
two,
you,
so
right.
I have
okay. All right. I'm interested to find out what you've got. All right. Okay. But today, after we talk about that just a little bit, today we're going to be talking about defining your audience. How do you go out and find your audience, the people who are going to buy from you? And it's going to be based around what you sell. But we're going to talk specifically about, and it's going to be the bacon, B-A-C-O-N. And I'm going to give you
B-A-C-O-N.
Yes. Did you forget how to spell bacon? All right. What we're going to do is we're going to do this like we do all the time. So the B is going to be is for your basic demographics, and we will explain that to you. A is for advancing psychographics. We're going to explain that.
I hope so, because it's a very big word.
No, you'd be surprised. You'll get this. C is for the channels where they learn. All right, your customers, where they learn. O is for the origin of their pain points. And N is for the noble objectives of your audience. Remember, I had to really stretch to get bacon to work today. Okay?
A lot of big words.
Yes. But it's basically, we're going to talk about the demographics today, the psychographics of your customers. We'll talk about that. Where they go out and learn, all right? Because that shows you where you're supposed to be advertising, where they learn. Okay? Their pain points. What pain are you solving, or what pleasure are you giving them with your product? And then finally, what is the objective of your audience? What are they wanting that you could probably provide? Well, so we're going to get into quite a bit today. I hope you're excited.
I'm very excited. It seems like a lot for an hour.
Yes, it is. But you know what? We're only doing this once every 5 weeks for the year. So we've got a lot to cover.
So I'm going to start my business in a year?
You can start your business. You could start your business a month ago. This is just this. These are these things that you need to be learning as you're going along.
Do you happen to know a nice business coach that might be able to help me?
Not a clue.
Oh,
no. Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, that would be me. So I have plenty of people. And this is part of the whole show here, is this idea of teaching you this as we go along. So not only are you learning, but everyone out there in the audience is learning this. Okay. So first off, Tiffany, what we talked about last month was starting with your values. What you've got to do is you've got to come up and be honest with yourself about where you draw your lines in the sand. That's what I like saying is, what are the things I believe in, the things I want to stand for, the things I want to be known for, so that when people come to buy from me, when people want to do business with me, they'll look upon me and they'll say, I want to do business with Tiffany because she's a good person. She believes in this, this, and this. And that's where it starts, because once you can create that list of values that are really important to you, the things that are important for you to develop your company around, once you do that, a lot of the other decisions you make from now on are going to be so much easier because you base them on those values. Okay?
Yes.
So
okay.
How many values do you have the list knocked down to?
Oh, boy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have about maybe 10.
10? Okay, because we're going to want you to shrink it down even smaller than that.
Okay, 10, so you tell 10, me. 10,
all right.
Because you
know
me pretty
because,
well.
All right, because I told you, so for Master Happiness, my company, I have 5 values that I work with. And my values are happiness.
Mine's on there.
Yeah, you like, all right. Well, you know, all right, but anyway, happiness,
okay.
Inspiration, creativity, empathy, and integrity. Okay. Now that's all right. You don't have to have the same ones as me because you're a different person than
me. But I do have 2 of those.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's fine, because as long as they mean something to you. Mm-hmm. So when I say happiness, what I mean by that is that I only want to work with people that I can make happy or that they can make me happy. All right. So that's what's really important.
Okay.
Inspiration for me is I do my best work when I inspire people or when I'm inspired by them. All of my values have to be a two-way street. All right. What happens is I want to go to bed at night saying I did my best, like, oh, we did something amazing today, and get really excited about it. The third one is creativity, because what I want to do is I want to always think outside of the box. I want to do something amazing, something different than all their competitors are doing. So that's what I look at. Empathy is I am a very empathetic person. I want to really walk a mile in their shoes. I want to know what they're going through so I can solve those problems. That's why it's so important for me to work with people initially with their beliefs and values. And then lastly, integrity is that I won't lie to my clients and I don't want them to lie to me. I need the whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
Exactly. So help me. So this is what we're going to keep working on. You all right over there? Just bump it into things. There's not a wall close enough to you to hit your head on.
It's weird because I could hear you in my earphones fine. But when I'm talking,
can't hear you?
Not very loud.
Well, I hear you fine. It seems fine.
Okay.
So we should be okay. Anyone out there in the studio audience, raise your hand. Do you hear Tiffany? Yeah, see?
Everyone? I think the people down the street could hear.
Probably. That ain't going along with. All right. So tell me, let's see if we can narrow down your values. Let's go with that.
Pretty well.
Yes. So I think so. I think so. Okay. Go ahead. So.
Honesty.
Okay. Honesty is good.
Trustworthy.
Okay. Well, first off, let's put it this way. Why did you separate those two things? What do you find different? And they're okay to be different, but how do you define trustworthiness and honesty? Or are they kind of leaning on the same thing?
I guess they're pretty much leaning on the same thing.
All right.
Okay.
So take one of them off.
Which one should I take off?
Whichever. This is your list. This is not my list. Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'm not running your company. You're running your company.
All right. Oh, I'll come back to that one.
Okay. All right.
Empathetic.
Okay, good.
That one's definitely.
Right.
Kindness.
Okay.
Optimism.
Optimism. Yeah, there you go.
Spirituality.
All right. What? You pick all the words you can't pronounce, right?
Good. There's not too many that can.
All right. Okay. So how does that spirituality, let me ask you that, how is that connecting to your business? What are you thinking there that you're believing in an overall good? You're believing in a higher power? I want you to define why you're saying that's one of your values here for running a business. And again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. In fact, if it's right to you, then it's right.
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 Right. what is supposed to be type. A higher being.
Okay.
Love, happiness,
okay.
Positivity is what the world is.
Okay.
That's your thing. And that's what it means.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Sounds good. And so what's the next one?
Kindness.
Is it? All right. So now is kindness and the spirituality, do they overlap anywhere, or are they strong enough that they're separate? That's why I want you to define these. Are they strong enough to be separate? Are you being spiritual to say, I will follow these things because I'm going to follow a good path. I'm going to follow a direction, which means being kind with people and helping people.
Right.
Okay. So see, so there might, there you go.
I could understand you saying the overlap.
Right. Right.
And so
what you end up doing is looking at them closer and saying, maybe they are separate. Okay. Maybe they need to be separate, or maybe they overlap.
Right. You're right.
But go on.
Get it.
Go on. Keep going.
Oh boy. Empathetic. I already said, friendships, adventure.
Okay. See, now adventure is difficult for me to say that overlaps with anything. So you want it to be an adventurous. So do you want, so when people do business with you, do you want them to feel it's an adventure?
Yes.
Because trust me, just working with you on the radio was an adventure. It's a good thing. You said you love a good adventure. I'm always giggling. I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
Okay. I think that was it.
That was it. Okay. So what I want you to do is this. I want you to go back to your list, and not right now, but I want you to start narrowing it down. Start defining it. Write a definition of each one of those. Like I was explaining, the short version for me is like happiness meant I want to make my clients happy. I want them to make me happy. If we're not both mutually happy, we shouldn't be working together. I would point them in the direction of a different coach.
Okay. I like how you said if they could overlap. That makes total sense.
Yeah. Sometimes they can overlap, and other times you're like, wow, this one's all encompassing.
Okay.
Because what you want to do is you don't want to have a list of 100 values, because then they don't mean anything.
Right.
The more you can narrow it down, the smaller the list is, the more important it is. And obviously, the more important to you it is.
Right.
So that's what we want to do.
Okay.
All right. So with that, what was these negative things you were writing? I'm curious about this.
Procrastination.
Ah, these are the things that you're trying to beat, to overcome. Right. So this is when we talked a little bit about your strengths and weaknesses. This is when we've talked about a SWOT report for you. So strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats. So this is the strengths and weaknesses. Okay, so procrastination. All right, so this is cool. We're going to overcome procrastination. We're going to work on that throughout these shows.
Okay.
Okay, but I don't want to spend too much time in this direction, because we do want to talk about this, identifying your audience. There's people listening going, okay, that's great for Tiffany, but which direction, we want to do this.
Okay.
But it's important because they all said it's great for Tiffany.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So just tell me, you tell me two more of the weaknesses. No, I want to hear them.
Do the people out there want to hear
them? Yeah, they
want
to hear that as opposed to us talking. Go for it.
Okay. Messy.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's you're being really honest. That's good. I'm glad.
Organization skills.
Okay. All right. And so you can tie that. So these are good. The most important thing about understanding your weaknesses is you have to take a look at this, and you have two questions to ask yourself. Is this something I can overcome on my own? Is this something I can fix on my own? Or is it something that I have to go find someone who's going to teach me how to fix this? Or am I going to hire somebody to do that part of the business for me?
Oh.
Because any of those things, just like we talked before about how you would want to hire a graphic designer because you can't do graphics.
Right.
If you are a procrastinator, one of the things you do is you find an accountability partner, another small business person who you talk to on a regular basis, and they go, Tiffany, you set some goals. Where are you? And you have to go, oh, man, the person's calling me. I better get some stuff done. So you need that. If you are disorganized, maybe you hire an assistant who does some of those things that keep you on track. All right. And so this is important to understand what your weaknesses are in business and in life, because you don't want them affecting you, and you end up failing in business because of something so easy, something that you didn't realize was a weakness.
Okay. I have one more thing.
Shoot.
I take things very personally.
Okay.
And I know I shouldn't, but I do.
Right. Right.
So how can you even get over something like that?
Well, you would have to take a look at understanding if you're working with a client and they're doing something that's really bothering you, and you're saying, look, I'm, you know, this is really affecting me, you have to weigh the difference between your personal emotions and the profit you get from that customer. And sometimes you might say, you know what, I don't want to do business with you.
Gotcha.
All right. So okay. Just be honest and open.
Okay.
All right. All right. So Tiff.
Thank you.
Tiff, let's jump into this, the bacon for today. All right. And look at this. I brought a worksheet for you.
You brought.
Yes, I did.
For me before.
Well, you know. Look at that. There's a worksheet for you.
Camera?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. Well, hold on. Let me put you on the camera. You have to lift it higher. There you go. Oh, beautiful.
Can you
nice.
See it?
Yes. Yes.
Live?
Yes. I'm
over there.
No. I mean,
because I have a delay.
Right. Yeah.
Me.
There is a delay. And so I saw it when you delayed it. I got it. We saw it. Everything's good.
Okay.
All right. So this is a worksheet. Now, when you look at this worksheet, and I want everyone out there who's listening to this to kind of understand how this worksheet works. It's we're going to brainstorm some of these ideas, and we'll get into that in a moment. And I just give you space on the worksheet sheet to just start writing some words. Okay. Yeah, the worksheet. Yeah. And so use some extra paper, use a notepad, and just start brainstorming, much like Tiffany did with her values, where she was writing out just words in general, and then slowly bringing them closer and closer together. So you start doing this until you narrow it down. Now, the sheet is filled with a number of different things. You're not on the camera this time, so I'm going to hold it this way. The sheet is filled with a number of different squares and then one large rectangle. And so you can use this sheet, or you can obviously just use paper. The first one is the demographics. The next one is psychographics, and we'll get into this. Next one is about knowledge, pain points, and the objectives. And lastly, this big avatar is about a spot for you to actually draw a picture. Okay, and I know this sounds silly, so give me a moment. Draw a picture or cut out something from a magazine, like a picture of what you would consider your ideal customer. Okay, and so what might happen is you might sell to multiple different types of customers. You might say, oh, I sell to kids, and I sell to kids from the ages of 7 to 12. Okay, so I'm going to put a picture of a child there so I remind myself when I am advertising or when I am doing a sales call to that demographic, all right, where are they, what's their age, etc., and you actually picture the person you're selling to. Now, let's say you sell to senior citizens, or you sell to business owners. You sell to blue-collar workers. You're putting a picture there, and you're hanging them up on the wall to your different customer groups, and you're saying, when I want to promote my idea to moms, this is what I'm going to say.
So you mean draw like a stick person?
Yeah, if that's what the best you can draw, right. I want you to actually have a visualization of what your customer looks like.
Should I put like the age then, like the stick person? And then...
Nope, that's where the drawing goes. If you just take a look, yeah, because hold on, don't draw it yet. Don't draw anything yet. If you take a look, now that's what the big rectangle, but let's go through all of this. Let's start with the B. And the B is for your basic demographics, okay? Now the demographics is where we're gonna be putting in age, where they live, a number of things that are easy for us. I see Tiffany's just writing this stuff down.
No,
this is, I understand. No. So I'm going to give you some ideas. So age, gender, their income, their education level, their marital status, their occupation, ethnicity and race, their geographic location, household size, their family structure. Maybe this is where religion is. I just have a copy of some stuff that I'm reading to you. Okay. What you're going to do is these are the things that you can actually know. Like you can find numbers somewhere. You can say, I want to sell my product to people within a 10-mile radius of me. That would be a demographic. I want to sell it to
all over the world.
That would be a demographic. Right. But that's a little bit of a big shot. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. But what you're going to do is then you're not going to sell to every single person all over the world. Your products are made specific for a very specific person, the most ideal person. That's what you're looking for. So you might say, I am looking to sell my product within a 10-mile radius to moms from the age of 30 to 42. Okay. And this is what I'm saying. Now, this is not your audience, but
I know,
this is.
But it's kind of funny because if you knew what my product was.
Yes.
And you just.
Yeah.
It's definitely not.
Okay, no, that's fine.
So that,
right.
Guess, I'm sorry. That's
okay.
That's why I was giggling.
Right. No, that's okay. So what would be your demographic? Who would be your ideal customer? Name one customer that you would automatically sell to.
Singles.
Okay, singles is general. So it's single men, single women.
Yes, yes.
Singles, all right. I know a lot of four-year-olds who are not married.
Okay. I would say 18 to 80.
18 to 80.
Yeah, it would
okay.
be kind of funny.
All right, okay. But wait a second. It would be funny for you, or would an 80-year-old really say, this is something I want to buy? A single 80-year-old.
Depending on her personality or okay. his personality. Yes.
Right. Okay. All right. So now we're still looking for the ideal customer, not just, well, you know what? Somebody would buy this. Okay. It's just the same thing of me saying, so Master Happiness as a business coach, I could say, I'm going to promote myself to everyone in the world because everyone could use it. Because even if you don't have a business, you might have a side hustle. So you should hire me. But instead, I have to be more specific with my audience. And I have to say that many of the people that I speak with, although I can work with them over Zoom, many of the people want to see me in person. I'm going to walk in, I'm going to meet their employees, etc. So I have to stay within a 15 to 20 mile radius of Lake Zurich where I'm located. So that's my first demographic. I could get customers outside of that demographic, but my ideal customer is within a certain geographic territory. The next thing is, obviously, my demographic is I'm looking for business owners or managers looking for more information and improving their business. Next is I might look at it going, I'm looking at specific types of business that I want to work with. So I'm narrowing it down more and more and more till I get what I would say is the ideal customer for me. It's not necessarily saying it's the only customer, but what's my ideal customer? So that's what I want you to do is think about this and saying, okay, so singles, what would be the ideal age of the person who would buy the majority of your products?
Okay, 18 to 40.
Perfect. All right. So now what you would do is you'd write that down. So 18 to 40, men or women, and they're single. That's
yes.
what you're saying. Okay. And this is something that it could be, is there any geographic area? Is there something, I mean, because we live in a world where we can ship products all over the place. Mine is more of a service-based business. So it's mine is different. And yours, I'm assuming, is a product.
It is a product.
Okay. All right. So we're looking at that. What are we looking for people who are wealthy enough to purchase this? In other words, let's say if I was selling Lamborghinis, okay, I would not say I could sell it to everyone. I'm looking for a very specific status.
It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. You could buy my product.
Okay. So if somebody was in a poverty level, could they afford your product? And would they spend their money on it? Is it a necessity?
No.
Okay, so then you have to take a look at that and say, we have to go over a certain level because somebody in a poverty level, if they can only spend money on the luxury items, certain luxury items, right? So maybe that doesn't fit in exactly. Not to say that they won't buy your product, but you're focusing in on your perfect customer. Now, here's the other thing is that keep in mind, we're looking for your perfect customer. The way you would advertise this to a man, is it different than you would advertise it to a woman?
No.
It's the same way.
Same
okay.
way.
Okay. The way you would advertise it to somebody in a different part of the world, would you advertise it the same way that you would say it, advertise it here?
Yes.
Except maybe in a different language.
Maybe in a different language.
Okay. All right. So to start out, and it's funny, this is like I'm playing, and whose line is it anyway? All right. So I want to play with some other things about, I want to throw in some other businesses so we kind of understand this. Let's say that you were doing the same thing with a restaurant, a small restaurant, just so the people who are listening aren't like, I wonder what this is that they're selling. And at any point in time, you can talk about your product if you want. That's your product. I'm not going to tell everyone unless you want to. Okay. So no. Okay, good. All right. So no.
Speaking about the restaurant.
All right. So let's say it's a restaurant. So some of the demographics for the restaurant, and let's say I'm a higher scale restaurant, a more expensive restaurant, and I don't really have kids meals. I am not necessarily going to advertise it to young couples. It's not to say that young couples can't come there, but that's going to be more of a date, a very rare occasion. So maybe my specific customers are those people who are empty nesters, where their children are already grown, they have additional income, where they are willing to spend it more and going to a fancy restaurant because they don't have to bring their kids there. So notice how my demographic is shorter. Because it's a restaurant, I'm going to say, how far are people really going to travel from my restaurant? I don't care how wonderful it is.
They can, and they will, but that's not your, I see what you're saying.
Right. So you narrow it down to your exact customer, okay? And so because of what you're doing, you might have multiple perfect customers, okay? And you might say, so if I advertise this way to this customer, it'll be really cool, and I can advertise and say certain things to this customer. If I advertise to this customer, I'm going to say things a little bit different. That's why I brought up the male and female, because sometimes what you're going to be doing is in an ad, let's say, or the ad copy, you're going to say something about, oh, here's a beautiful woman, and using a beautiful woman might be the way to sell to women, or it might be the way to sell to men. You might put a different type of model. You might put a puppy dog up there, something like that.
See, had it, I wanted both guys and girls in the picture.
Right. Okay, but keep in mind that you can also, because we live in the day and age of social media, that you can put multiple ads very easily, and you can promote and push towards one or the other. Okay? All right. So I think you got a kind of an understanding of demographics.
Yes.
Okay, so these are the things that you can actually put a number to. You can do some research and find out how many of these people live within a certain area. What's the average income? Sometimes we're going to sell things to homeowners. Sometimes we sell things to apartment dwellers. All right. So based on the information we can get, we try to identify our ideal customer.
Okay.
And one of the companies I work with is a bridal shop, right? And one of their ideal customers, obviously, are young brides, right? But another customer of theirs are mothers of the bride because they sell to them. They also have a tuxedo shop. So we're going to identify young men getting married or going to prom, okay? Or just people going to a black tie event. Those are different. So they have a list of different ideal customers. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't just advertise everything to everyone. We pinpoint them. It used to be that you would have to advertise in print and billboards and magazines and stuff, and you'd have to plan this so far ahead. But now we live in a day and age of social media where you can change your ads so quickly. So it benefits us by changing our ads and understanding who's going to possibly buy our product. Okay, now we're going to get to the second one, which is going to be, what do we call it here? It's in my list here. The advancing psychographics. This is the one you're excited about. Okay, and this one here, when we talk about psychographics, we're talking about more of the things that are more difficult for you to quantify, more difficult for you to say, oh, there's 10 of them over there. Okay, this is, you want to look at people with what are their values and beliefs? What are maybe their lifestyles? What is their attitude towards things? Okay, what is their behavior, their social status, etc.? So let's say that, again, I'm going to be pitching my idea as a business coach, but I have to pitch to very specific people. They're owning a business, or they're a manager in a business, or running a business. They're the C-suite people. And their attitude has to be that they're open to new ideas. Their attitude has to be they want to bring happiness to the office. If I come to somebody going, I just am interested in increasing profits, I don't really care about the employees, I can always get new employees, that's someone I'm not going to work with. So that's a psychographic that I have to make sure that I promote. You have to be interested in bringing happiness and joy to the office. So you have to figure out what are some of those little secret things about the people you want to sell to. Again, let's say it's a
sense of humor.
Okay, perfect. Now that's really cool.
Yeah.
So
is that in this?
Yeah, that's definitely a psychographic. That's something that you can't put a number on. You can't you can't walk out on the street and say how many people by looking at them and saying, oh, well, he has a sense of humor, he doesn't have a sense of humor, etc. So what you have to do, the psychographics is the more detailed. It's their beliefs, their
more
values,
detailed.
Right? It's the way they communicate. It's their emotional drivers. What are some of the things? Are they impulse buyers because when they see something really funny, they go, oh, that's worth buying.
Yeah,
okay. That's the person you want, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to the male that you're talking about, a man who is stodgy and he's like, I'm not, I have no sense of humor. You know, this is how I run my business. You don't want to sell to him.
No.
So this is what you have to do, is you start narrowing it down. Now you can understand what I'm talking about is eventually you're going to draw a picture or cut a picture out of a magazine of what your ideal customer would look like. And you can make multiple sheets of this. You're going to have one with women, one with a man.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
That's good too.
Right. And so then when we get to the point of how you promote and how you go after them, how you promote yourself on the radio, how you promote yourself in print, how you promote yourself in social media, you get out and you, let's say you have a storefront. How are you going to decorate the storefront? Because you want to attract these customers, right? You would not, let's say you have a storefront, and obviously you're talking about a certain age of people and you're talking about people with a sense of humor. You wouldn't necessarily design your storefront to look like a funeral home.
Oh.
No, right? Exactly.
Right.
Probably not to look like a bank, okay? You want it to be a little bit more light and fun because it's going to attract those people. So that's why you have to answer these questions first, because then it's easier for you to make those next decisions.
Okay.
All right? So that's so far. So you're good with demographics and psychographics, right?
Yes.
You're all set with this. Beautiful. Now, the next question is this on that sheet, is their knowledge. Where do they learn? So what you have to do is you have to take a look at this and you have to say, are the people you're selling to, do they get their information from which news channels? Do they listen to the radio? Do they follow Facebook? Are they Instagram fans? Do they follow Pinterest? Are they on Snapchat? Are they on WeChat? Are they on LinkedIn? Many of my clients, although I put a lot on Facebook and Instagram, the majority of my clients and the connections I make are through LinkedIn because they're business owners.
People.
Right? Okay. So it's really important to understand where they learn, where they get their information. All right. And this will lean towards maybe this is something that you end up buying ads on a radio somewhere, or you put an ad on television.
Huh.
On a streaming channel.
Do you know a radio station?
Yes, I do know. I know a great radio station. Yes. But we don't sell ads here. What we do is we do a partnership with people. We would love to help you once you get your product going like that. Yeah. So you just make a donation to the station. We'll take care of you. All right. But anyway, of course it is. Yes. So that's a whole different avenue we'll go down eventually. So you find out where they learn. Now take a look at this already without even going any further. If you understand where they learn, in other words, where to put your information, because that's where they're going to see it, okay, you're not going to necessarily put your ad on park benches or on bus stop benches in a really poor neighborhood because you said that's not my place.
Yeah, probably
right?
Not, no.
Okay, so by understanding where they learn, where they get their information is a great step to start narrowing it down. A lot of people, what they do is when they're starting a business, they do this shotgun approach. And what they say is, I'm just gonna sell everyone. Everyone in the world could buy my product. I'm gonna just shout it from the highest mountain. Anyone buy my product? And what happens is you put a lot of energy, time and money into advertising to the majority of the people who will never buy your product. Okay. Instead, pinpoint that energy, pinpoint that money, pinpoint your time to the best possible clients. All right. By understanding the demographic, the psychographic, and where they learn. Okay. Good so far?
Good so far.
Awesome. Awesome.
Go to
a... No, we missed that. It's all good. Yeah, it's okay. It's all good. That's all right. That's all right. I know you're old radio buff, right? Yeah. Okay. So far we've done the B, which is basic demographics. A is the advancing psychographics. C is the channels of where they learn. And O is the origin of their pain point. And I should say it's their pain point or their pleasure point. So again, let's go back to this restaurant idea really quick. So what I have to do is I have to take a look at this, and if I'm going to advertise, I have to understand, is my restaurant, does it heal a pain, or does it offer a pleasure, or does it do a little bit of both? So first off, it's a pleasure. I'm going to promote it in such a way to say, you deserve a night out. Come eat at my restaurant. This is the way I promote pleasure, right? And saying, bring the kids. We have a kids menu here. You know, we'll take care of them. You deserve a night out. You shouldn't have to cook and clean. We'll do all the work for you. You just sit there and you're the king and queen for the night, okay? And that's how I would promote the restaurant as a pleasure. Now, I can promote it as a way of solving the pain. And that would be, is your family sick and tired of eating the same food night after night?
I see.
Okay? And And what's happening is everyone comes to the dinner table going, oh, meatloaf again. Okay, what we can do is come to our restaurant. Not only will we serve something other than just meatloaf, but every single person in your family could order exactly what they want. Okay, so what we do is we're solving a pain or we're offering a pleasure. And when you get a choice, when you are forced into a position where you can choose pleasure over solving a pain, you will always choose solving a pain first. Okay. Imagine.
Really?
Yes. Imagine this. And I'll give this a perfect example because you like to travel. Let's say that you're out somewhere in the Bahamas and you're snorkeling. Okay. You like snorkeling?
I do.
Okay. Awesome. So you're snorkeling. You look down and you see like some beautiful shell, but it's a good 18 feet down.
Oh,
I don't know
no.
why. I don't know why I grabbed 18 feet, but it's 18 feet. You swim down there. And you're grabbing it and you want it because the getting the shell will bring you pleasure, right? But the shell is stuck, so you're yanking on it, you're pulling on it like that. You are losing breath.
I was going to say, I'm losing air.
Exactly. So you have a decision. Either I stay down here for my pleasure to pull to find this, or do I solve my pain by leaving, going back up, and breathing again? And without a doubt, you're going to...
breathe.
Yeah, so you're always looking to solve pain over pleasure. If given both circumstances of equal, you're always going to be, I'm going to go to someplace who's going to solve my pain. And then if there is no pain, then, you know, if you had a scuba tank, then you could stay down there a little bit longer, free that thing up.
And then I'd get in trouble for taking the shell because
yeah,
I wasn't
exactly.
supposed to.
Well, there you go. And then it's a whole different pain.
And then it's a whole different pain.
Right. And then there's somebody going, I can take care of that, señorita. You know, you just come over here. We'll take care of you. Right. And you're going to go, yes, please help me because I have this other pain to take care of. Right. You know, so that's what you want to do is you want to find your potential customer's pain point. All right. Or pleasure point. Where would they get? What will this serve to solve a pain for them? Or will it serve to offer them pleasure? Now, for me, again, we talked a little bit about a restaurant. For me, as a business coach, I'm looking at this and I'm saying I do a little bit of both. But I lean towards the pain. And that is that one of the greatest problems small businesses have is employee retention. And what happens is employees work there. The national average or the worldwide average, I don't know where it is exactly, is most employees stay at a company 3 years. By the end of the third year, they're like tired of it and they want to leave. And so employees have to continually try to rehire people, retrain them, go through all of that process just to have them leave again. So employee retention is really difficult. Because of COVID, a lot of people have just given up on it and said, well, what's the purpose of working anyplace? You know, I don't want to work here. I'm going to move and do some, you know, go somewhere else.
So I'm sorry,
yeah.
Before COVID, it was 3 years, or after COVID is 3 years?
It's after 3 years. After COVID, it's 3 years.
3 years.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so before COVID, it probably wasn't a whole lot longer, but there was a time a while ago where people worked at a place for 40 years. You know, they retired, they got a pension, they got a gold watch, everything was lovely. That doesn't happen so much anymore because there are no more pensions. There is no, there's nothing to look forward to in the long run. All right. So there's exceptions to every rule. So I don't want people coming and saying, well, we offer a 401k program and all this. That's good. But if you're still at that average of 3 years, people are leaving in 3 years, or they've given up on the job, you don't see they don't have the same zest at the job. They're not excited. They're not ambitious. They're not going out of their way to help the company. Then it's time for you to do something. And so this is the pain point that I remind small businesses of that I can help them solve. The pleasure part is that I also sell them the idea that your entire employee, all your employees, your managers will be more happy coming to work. They'll look forward to it. And that makes every day a little happier. It makes you, the owner, happier. And happy employees attract happy customers who come back with friends and they all spend more money. And so in other words, aside from just solving the problem of losing employees, I'm also giving them the idea of pleasure. So I do a little bit of both. So you have to decide on your product. Is your product more of solving a pain or is your problem more of offering a pleasure?
I guess more pleasure, but yeah. it you think of it a different way, it could be pain.
Yeah, but I don't want you to stretch it and go, oh, we could probably. Is it really, is it one or the other? Because the first
way I think of it, it's more humor. So
well,
it's
certainly, right. And that's what
but
I was going to say.
People could think.
I would say that because you're saying you're after people who are looking, who have a great sense of humor, yeah. Because you said that I would lean towards it being more, this is a pleasurable thing. This is nothing that they would absolutely say, I absolutely need this. Not,
correct.
I don't need, you know.
Right.
It's,
no, you're right.
You know, there are very few things that we really, really need. But there are things we're going, and I need this to succeed. I need this for this reason. I need to eat food. But I don't need to go to the restaurant.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's it. So that's fine. So now you've identified your demographic, mm-hmm. who you're after. Mm-hmm. You understand a little bit of their psychographic. You're looking for people with a good sense of humor.
Right.
Where do they learn? Are you looking for, because you're saying a sense of humor, are you looking more towards Facebook?
I'm thinking Facebook.
Facebook, Instagram. Yes. And stuff like that. Yes. Okay. Maybe yeah. Pinterest.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
No, you got it.
All right. And then the next thing is then there's not so much a pain point as much as it's for pleasure.
Correct.
So in there, so you're offering them something for pleasure.
Correct.
Now you see, you're narrowing this down. Now, when you go to create an ad or create a storefront, it's so much easier because you're going to go, this is who I want to come in the door. If you lay this out and you draw this picture, you clip this person out of a magazine and paste it there, you're going to go, what would I have to do to get that person to come in my front door? What would I have to do to get that person to make a phone call and call me? What would I have to do to get that person to go to my website? Okay. And that's what you're doing. You hang those up on your wall and you start creating this atmosphere of what am I going to do to attract that
person? Kind of like a vision board.
Exactly. It is perfectly. That is it. It's a vision board for your business. Okay. So the N is this. What is the noble objective of your audience? So what are they doing? Although, you know, there's a lot of people who are in pain or they want pleasure, but what is their objective? Why would they want your product? And I'm going to go back to the restaurant because we haven't discussed what your product is exactly. But the objective of my audience, if I owned a restaurant, was this. They're coming here. They just want to be taken care of. They want to eat, get up, and leave. They don't want to have to clean dishes. They don't want to have to cook. They don't want to have to go grocery shopping. I have a friend of mine who went and looked in his refrigerator. He has nothing in his refrigerator. It's completely empty. And then Tiffany raises her hand because it's, I'm going to go out to eat every single night. Okay. And there you go. Tiffany's raising her hand. Okay. And so that is, when you think about that, that's a perfect captive audience. Of there are plenty of people like that, that just, that's it. That's all I want to do. I want to just go out and eat, and that's how I'm going to do this. So that's the objective of your customer. And so the more you know about the objective, what they want, you can put that in the message of your ads. Okay. So when you think about this, I want you to think about what's your objective of your audience who's going to possibly buy your product.
People that buy it, I want them to laugh, and the people who see it from the other people, I want them to laugh.
Okay. All right.
So
and so
the
then
people
obviously,
that have it and
yeah,
people that this is see
gonna,
it to
at some point in time during this year, we're going to narrow it down. You're actually going to say what you're making, but hopefully you're actually making it. We can sell it. Right. All right. So, and obviously it's something that could be given as a gift as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. So perfect. All right.
As a gag gift too.
Perfect. Wow. The perfect. Wonderful. So there's a lot of directions you want to go into. Now, let's be honest. The way we're narrowing it down, looking at this, we talk about this being your side hustle, turning a side hustle into success. But in reality, when we're looking at this, this seems like this is more the side hustle that you're going to do to make some extra money.
Yes.
And you're going to enjoy doing it.
Correct.
Okay, good. All right, so we're on the same page there. And
if it makes lots of money, yay.
Exactly.
If it doesn't, okay.
And maybe it can grow into something more. I know you had said before about expanding into other types of products and stuff like that.
Yes.
So we can always look into that direction. And so maybe there's different products, different ideas, all types of different directions to go into. But what I want you to do now is your homework between now and next month.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I got to write
your
this down.
Your homework is going to be making, and I'm going to give you an extra copy of this customer avatar, a blank one, because you're going to make copies of that.
Oh, I could do
okay.
That.
Yes, you're going to make copies of that, and I want you to come up with as many different ideal customers and fill out that sheet for every one of those ideal customers.
Different customers.
Okay, so it might be one of them is going to be for these. What was the age group you said? 18?
18 to 40.
18 to 40. So you have 18 to 40-year-old single women.
Okay.
18 to 40-year-old single men.
Men.
All right, so that's two. Now, you said that this could be something given as a gift. Who would buy it? Who would buy this as a gift? Would a parent buy it for their child?
No, it would be the same demographic.
Okay, perfect. All right, so you might do this. That kind of moves in together, but you might do this whole thing of saying, I want my ideal customer as someone who buys gifts for people in this demographic and psychographic. So one of the things is people, remember when we talked about what their objective is? Their objective is to buy this as a gift, or their objective is to buy it for themselves. So now you've got an additional perfect customer avatar.
Wow, I'm going to make lots of money.
Lots. Okay, so what I want you to do is this, and you don't have to show it to the audience next month, our next meeting, but what I want you to do is I want you to fill these out, clip something out of a magazine to paste a picture of that ideal person up on there, and then find a place in your home or office where you can hang them.
Okay.
Because then what this does is just like a vision board, it gives you the inspiration to look at them and saying, yes, what am I going to do today to sell to that person? What am I going to do to sell to that person?
I'm going to call Marty Jalove.
There you go. All right. Because you might find that over time, you might go, you know what? I'm not going to sell that person anymore. I'm going to pull that down. That's not a good customer for me. Maybe this other person is better. Okay. So you might do a number of different things like that. But so I want you to take a picture of that hanging on the wall. So next time we meet, I want you to show me that you took a picture of this, that you've got these hanging on the wall, all your ideal customers.
Not my product, just the customers.
That's all I want to see is the customers. And okay. And they're going to be a picture. I can't read them. All I'll see is the people, all right? And during that time, the sooner you can get it up, the better. Now this is what I want you to also do, is grab some Post-it notes.
Oh, I have, that's.
Excellent. You have Post-it notes. You're like, oh, I have Post-it notes.
Okay.
Every day, whenever you're thinking of an idea, like, oh, this would be a cute thing to say to this person, to that guy who's up on the wall. This is something, if he was right here, this is something I might say to him to get him to buy this product. If you come up with something, write it on a Post-it note, stick it on the wall underneath him. Don't do anything with it yet. You might go to, the guy who's buying it is a gift. Let's say it's something like it's a holiday coming up. Hey, is birthday coming up? I've got the perfect gift for you. You know, there might be something like that. You stick that underneath them. It's Christmas time, which is a big shopping time. It's not that it's Christmas time now, just not trying to confuse you or our audience. This is a live program and it's nowhere near Christmas. Okay.
Tomorrow's spring.
There you go. Tomorrow is spring. So the first day of spring, perfect time to buy a Tiffany's thing. Yeah, there you go. All right. So what you would do is you would write something, these ideas of different ways and different things you would say to them.
Because what I might say, I could put on my Facebook advertising.
Bam. Now you're getting it. Yes, yes. See, you're narrowing it down. And just like your values, after a while, you're going to have tons of stuff up on the wall. You know, 10, 15, 20 different phrases and ideas. And you're going to start playing with them. Oh, what would be a catchy way to say that? You're going to write them down. And when you are ready to brainstorm, to actually start the social media, you grab all of those and you start going, okay, just like what you did with the values, which are the ones that are similar? Which are the ones that sound the best? What was I thinking when I wrote this? And you start writing them all out and you start writing taglines for your social media. Okay. But right now, the only thing I want you to work on right now, I don't want you to get too far ahead of yourself, is start working on your ideal customers. That's what we're talking about.
Customers.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about today, is identifying your audience. And so what you've done here is, we'll forget the bacon for a second.
Never forget the bacon.
All right. Is the B is your basic demographics, narrowing it down. We do not sell our product to everyone in the world, unless it's oxygen and the world is out of oxygen and we've got oxygen, then I can sell it to absolutely everyone. Okay. That's the basic demographics. The next is the advancing psychographics. This gets into we tighten up that group of people we're selling to. And that is those attitudes, those beliefs that we're going to sell to them. Those people who you're saying have a sense of humor. Right.
An impulsive buyer.
Perfect. Look at that. Even better. Look at you're filling out these sheets. Great. All right. C is going to be the channels where they learn. So you find out it's a waste of my time to put information over here and over here. Instead, I should put this information right in front of them on Pinterest. I should put this information on Instagram and Facebook. That's where they're at. Okay. I'm not even telling you how to design the ads yet. We're not even near there. This is just where they learn, gotcha. Right? O is the origin of their pain point or their pleasure point. And so we found that your product is specific to pleasure. Okay. Like I told you, when I sell my business coaching, it's about solving a pain, but also giving them some pleasure. It's kind of the same thing with a restaurant. Okay. There's a lot of similarity there, but notice what we're doing is we're breaking it down step by step, you know, and a lot of the stuff you write down, well, yeah, I know this. This is, I'm assuming this, but this helps you really pinpoint exactly who you're going after. And then finally is the N is the noble objective of your audience. What are they hoping to get out of what you're selling? It's one thing to say, this is what I sell. But the real question is, what are they hoping to get out of it? And you have to understand, what are they hoping? And it's like, wow, they're hoping to get the best gift to give to someone. They want to laugh with someone. They want to have a great time. All right, that's cool. But find out what they want, what your ideal customer wants and hopes to get out of your product. And that's how we're going to start working on that. All right, does that make a bunch of sense to you?
It does.
All right.
And so, it's kind of fun. Thank you.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. It'll be a fun project for you. Now, I'm also going to do this. I'm going to hold this up. One more idea. This is really cool because I've got two cameras here and they move at different times.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you this. This is the SMART goals. Now, you've heard of SMART goals before, right? Tiff?
No.
All right. So SMART is the acronym. This is another guy who came up with this acronym. It goes way back a long, long time ago. What they do is it's this. In order to make a goal, which is very important, you can't run a race without a finish line. You need some type of finish line. I like the faces you're making. I'm putting the camera back on you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You need to create SMART goals. And the SMART goals are really simple. The S is for specific. When you set your goal, make it specific. Notice how I told you exactly what I wanted you to do. Your goal is specific. Fill out these sheets, hang them on a wall. Start putting post-it notes underneath it. That's very specific. There should be no questioning what I mean by that. The next is, how can you measure your progress? Okay, it's going to be really easy to measure your progress because either you're doing it or you're not doing it. If you stare at that wall and nothing's up there, you know you're not doing well. Okay, that's the M. The A is it achievable? You have a month, you have 5 weeks to do this. So is it achievable? Yes, it's completely achievable. This is not that difficult. This just takes some brain work, maybe a little research on the internet for your customers, but you can do this. All right, then the R in SMART is relevant, okay? Is it relevant? Will it help you? Yes, this is exactly how it will help you, okay? This is exactly how you define your audience. And then finally, the T is it time-bound, okay? And yes, it's time-bound because I want you to get it done by next week, okay? What are you making this
business?
It is 8 o'clock, and I'm giving you that SMART goals. All right, so with that, we're going to end the show before they end it on us.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm looking over here. It is 8 o'clock. So without further ado, Tiffany, just look in that camera and tell everyone bye-bye.
Okay.
You're looking this camera. There you go. There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being my guest today. This is exciting. This is part two of a...